Acts chapter 3. In junior church, we've been looking through the first part of Acts. I think we were on chapter 7 today in a little bit. And I talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago. Obviously not this outline, because the outline just came to me this past week. But I wanted to go back to it, and because I had some more thoughts. And so it's kind of a little bit what I talked a little bit about in junior church a few weeks ago, but it's a totally different outline, so I wanted to look at it. Chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms." That's not on. Okay. "To ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple." Did I already read that? I might have. Verse 4. "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Great Wandering." I want to take this passage and talk a little bit tonight about what made the difference. Or you could say, what kind of friend will you be? So however you want, we'll tie both of those thoughts in with this message. But what made the difference in this story? When you come to when you look at a passage of scripture, you want to look at the beginning and the end, and even the previous chapter to try and figure out what's going on. What's the context? And in Acts chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost had come, which is basically the second of the three great Jewish feasts. It was celebrated at Jerusalem yearly, every year, and it was in grateful recognition of a completed harvest. So every year they would come and have the feast, and here it starts off in Pentecost was fully come, and Peter and John, Peter was preached. You'd have all the hundreds of people and even thousands of people that got saved, and in this chapter you'll find that people were added to the church. And later, at the end of chapter 2, you find that everybody was unified. Everybody was praising God. Everybody had the same mind or the same accord. And they went about their lives as a Christian in unity. That'd be a very unusual thing to see, but it happened. That massive amount of group of people, all with the same focus in one accord. Now you come to chapter 3, and Peter and John go into the temple. Now, you want to look at the characters of any Bible story to figure out who they are and what's going on. And when I look at this and I see three different people groups in this story. The first one, so the first point is the people. Who are exactly the people in this story? And obviously, you come to chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, "Now Peter and John." So you've got two guys. Everybody knows a little bit about Peter and John. They were followers of Jesus, and Peter, he preached the great message on Pentecost, and several souls got saved. They were followers of Jesus, and here you find a little bit more about them. They were going up into the temple at the ninth hour, being at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, which the ninth hour in our day is just simply 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But they were going up into the temple to pray. That tells me a couple different things. These guys were busy. They were busy doing good things. They were busy doing godly things. It wasn't that they were just loafing around and just taking their time, just taking a day off, which there's nothing wrong with that. But they were busy at this point in their life. They just finished chapter 2. They just preached a lot of different messages, seen several souls saved, trying to get all those souls worked with. And now Peter and John come to the temple to pray. They were busy. They were doing good things. Also, you see the lame man in verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. So this tells you a little bit about this guy. He was born into this world lame. Now, being lame just simply meant, and in the latter part of this, when it says his ankle bones received strength, he couldn't walk. He didn't have any strength in his ankle bones, okay? And if you go to chapter 4, verse 22, it says, "For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." So this guy, from his mother's womb, from birth, all the way up to being over 40, had this problem of not being able to walk. The Bible says he was a beggar. He had to ask alms for to make his living, which the other people in the Bible were beggars for different reasons, and this guy just happened to be one of them. And then there's a third group of people. This person, or these people, also in verse 2, "A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple." Now, I underlined the word "they" because that's important. You don't want to miss this group of people. This group of people were faithful people. Now, you can kind of say, in my mind, I characterize Peter and John as the Christians serving God and serving God full-time with their life. The lame man I characterize as a lost person. Basically, somebody that came into this world had a need that they couldn't fix on their own. And that's what this guy was. He was lame. He couldn't do anything to fix his problem. And that's what sinners are. They come into this world. Everyone that's breathing here tonight came into this world a sinner. You have an immediate problem. You cannot go to heaven on your own. You can't work hard enough. You can't do any good deeds. You can't pay your way into heaven. You have a problem, and that is a spiritual problem that you can't fix on your own. So that kind of goes together a little bit in my mind. And then you've got this group of people, the "they." Now, this group of people, they were faithful. It says they daily carried this guy to the gate of the temple. Now, I don't know if it was their friends. This guy probably had friends. Our only friends would be so committed to basically carry this guy from the house. And it probably wasn't next door. I don't know where it was. But it took time to get this guy from the house to the gate of the temple. They were dedicated. They were faithful. You could say that they were concerned for their friend. They wanted him to get better. All right? They wanted to see him get in a better place than he was, but they just didn't know how to do it. They could help him, okay, but they couldn't heal him. All right? And they could help him in the sense that they took him to the gate of the temple. Now, this guy being over 40 years old, I imagine he had a lot of time to think. And if this was me, I would be doing a lot of thinking. I might be thinking that, I wonder if I'm at the gate of the temple and I'm asking alms for people, which is money, and I wonder what's going on inside the temple. I wonder what they're doing. Now, we know that prayers were being made, all right? But I wonder if nobody ever told them exactly, day after day, what was going on in the temple. It makes me stop and think that it took over 40 years for this guy, for Peter and John to come along and show him the truth. All right? And that's what we have. So we have, number one, Peter and John, the guy, the lame man that had a problem that he couldn't fix, and the "they." All right? Then we go into number two, the problem. And what was his problem? He was lame. He couldn't fix it himself. There was nothing in him. He couldn't pay for a doctor to come in and do a little magic to fix him. No, he couldn't do that. He had a physical problem that he couldn't fix. You know, today we all have problems in our lives. And sometimes we can fix those problems, but sometimes we can't. And those are the problems that you've just got to give to God and say, you know, I don't know how you're going to help me through this, but I just give this problem over to you. And I trust in you, and I trust that you'll make me a better Christian through it. All right. But at this time, this guy, I believe he wasn't saved. OK, so he's got a problem. He cannot walk. Now, that's a serious problem. I remember it was a problem with his ankles. I've got a problem with my ankles. When I was In high school, I really messed up my right ankle. In fact, it's still swollen to this day. And I just recently messed up my left ankle, so it's still swollen, and it'll be swollen until I die. So I've got some really ugly ankles, but praise God, you can't see them, so that's a good thing. I remember when I just recently hurt my ankle, I was able to, as long as I kept on it, as long as I kept walking, I could even do a little bit of running. But man, when I went home that night and I rested that ankle for 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I remember getting out of the bed thinking, I'm going to go get some ice to put on this thing. And it hurt. It hurt so bad that I could barely walk. I looked like a lame person. I was having my hand on the dresser. I had my foot up behind me. There was nothing that I could do. I looked pretty pitiful. But it's a good way to get out of work, but you're in pain. But I remember thinking, you know, it really hurts. I can't put pressure on this ankle. Can you imagine this guy? All right, he's never been able to walk for 40 some years. He doesn't know what it's like to walk. And then Peter and John come along, number three. They come along and they give him what I want to call the prescription. Look at what happens. Verse 3, this is the lame man, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple to ask alms, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." So Peter, he gets this guy's attention, and he says, "Look at me." Now, the Bible even says that this lame man looks at Peter expecting money, because that's what he's asking for. The man is there for only one reason: to get money from other people that are a little more well off, maybe people that have pity on them as they're going into the temple. They'll give him a little bit of money. And Peter looks at this guy and he says, "Look at me." And you can imagine the guy's going to get excited, because some people, they just casually walk by, throw some money in his plate or in his hat, whatever he had, and keep on going. But this guy's actually talking to me. So he said, "Look at me." So he must be going to do me a pretty good deed. He might say, "Well, I don't have money right now, but let me go home. You just stay put. Don't go anywhere. You stay put, and I'll be back, and I'll give you some money." But look at what Peter said. Verse 6, Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Now, can you imagine the guy, like, he's obviously sitting there thinking, "Oh, boy, I thought this was going to be good." All right? But then he keeps going. "But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So Peter takes this guy and he says, "Look, I don't have any gold, I don't have any silver, but what I have, I'm going to freely give you." And he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he takes him by his right hand and he helps him up. Can you imagine? All right, he's instantly healed. He doesn't have to say, "Well, go get a walker, go get a cane, help me out, let's do some physical therapy." He didn't have to do that, all right? He rose up, and it says he was leaping and praising God, going into the temple. This guy didn't have to learn how to walk. He didn't have to have somebody show him how to walk. Now, he'd seen people walk back and forth, but he was instantaneously healed. That's a miracle. That is something that only Jesus could do. I remember a few months ago, I think I had to go to Walmart, and I hit Forest Park, and I was going to turn left and at the stoplights, and there was this truck with some lumber in the back, and then he also had a trailer behind him with some lumber in the back, and he had spilled a lot of his lumber. And so I pulled my car over, and I wasn't the first person there. I was probably the third or fourth car. I pulled my car over, and I got out and helped him load it back up. And by the time we were halfway done, we had several people actually pull over and help us load it into the back of the truck. I was meeting his needs. I was helping him meet his needs. But as I was thinking about this chapter, this passage, I really didn't give the guy what he needed. Because I'm just going to be honest with you, I didn't give the guy a track. I didn't give the guy a brochure. I didn't give the guy anything. I met his needs temporarily. Right? Temporarily, he was in a bad spot, and all I thought about was, hey, help the guy out. But permanently, I did him more damage than just helping him out pick up some boards. I mean, anybody could have done that. What the guy really needed was somebody to come and say, look, after we picked up the mess, here's some information about our church. I want to see you out to church someday or this Sunday. That's what he really needed. Okay. So really, I failed the guy. I helped him out a little bit, but I failed the guy. Can you imagine for 40-some years, all those people that were helping this lame man really failed him? Really failed him. Now, we have visitation. We have team visitation on Wednesday afternoon and then some Thursday night and Saturday night. But if you just take time out to come to visitation just to knock some doors, really, you're not doing what God wants you to do. What God wants you to do is wherever you go, whoever you meet along your pathway of life, to be the Christian example and tell them about Jesus, to give them the good news. For 40-some years, nobody had given this guy what he really needed. They had helped him out, but they really didn't give him what he needed until Peter and John came by. Then those guys gave him what he needed. When we're going through our life, you start to think about all the missed opportunities that you missed out on. Amen. Going through the grocery store, and I'm the world's worst at this. All right, going through the grocery store because life's busy. You're not thinking. You got your list. You're going in and getting out. You don't want to. I mean, at least me. I don't want to look around and shop. I just want to get my list. Unless it's Bass Pro, I want to just get my list and get out because I don't care about going up and down every aisle. But once you get to the checkout, there's a real live person there.
Yes,
with a real live destination.
Yes, sir.
Whether it's heaven or hell. And right there at that moment, you're in that spot, checking out anyway. You might as well, when you're reaching for your wallet, reach for a tract and give it to them.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's not going to cost you much more time. It's pretty easy. And people around you. Going to the gas station. Now, it doesn't work all the time because they have the things that you pay at the pump. But if you go in for a drink or something, you know, give that person a track. Witness. Whoever you come in contact with. You get in that kind of routine and make that a daily habit every time you go out. And you're going to find that it's really not that hard.
Okay.
All right? What have you been waiting on? What have I been waiting on? Because really, you're there already. It's not like you had to get out of your car, go up to the door, knock on, you know, interrupt their life. These guys are waiting on you, okay?
Yeah.
And you're already there. Just do your Christian duty. I should do my Christian duty and give them the good news, all right? You're already giving them money that they can't keep. You might as well give them something that they can keep, all right? And so that's what we need to really think on and work on. In verse 11, let's look at how the lame man responded, okay? Verse 11, actually, at verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. So he made his actions created a stir, all right? There was already people talking about him. Can you imagine walking into the temple, and you didn't see the beginning part of this miracle, but you're walking into the temple, and you're seeing this guy. And he's walking and leaping and praising God. All right, if you walked into church and all of a sudden you showed up a little late and there's this person walking and leaping and praising God and having a cow, you think, well, what happened to them? All right, and can you imagine this guy walking in and he sees this in the temple and he's thinking, what on earth happened to them? You keep reading in verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. All right? I underlined that word held in my Bible, and I'll tell you why. Can you imagine? You're the guy. I took a sip. You're the guy. You walk into the temple and you see this guy walking and leaping and praising God. And then you see him holding on to two other guys
And you might know these other two guys. You might know Peter and John because Peter just preached a fabulous message. So you might recognize them. And you see this guy hanging on to him. And you're thinking, why is this guy holding on to Peter and John? And you might be thinking that to yourself, and then you just think it out loud. And somebody next to you says, so you didn't know what happened? And you said, no, I just got here. And you're start having this conversation with your neighbor. And you say, why is he holding on to Peter and John? When you look at the word held means to hold fast, to continue to hold, not discard or let go. Peter and John helped this guy, all right, see Jesus. There was a miracle that was performed in his life, and when he got it, he didn't want to let go. Did he need to hold on to Peter and John? No. Physically, he could walk. He was fine. If a guy is leaping up and down, he's fine. Amen. Okay? But he's holding on to Peter and John, and can you imagine, you think, you know, he can walk fine, he can leap fine, and he's holding on to these two guys. He didn't want to let go of what had just happened to him. Folks, when you and I get saved, we shouldn't want to let go of any of the blessings that God has for our life. Now, the Bible doesn't preach or doesn't teach that you can lose your salvation. That cannot happen. Okay? Once you're saved, you're sealed. Once you're saved, you're secure. Once you're saved, nobody can pluck you from the Father's hand. That's what the Bible teaches. So that's not, if he let go of Peter and John, he couldn't walk. That's not what it's saying at all, okay? What it's saying is, once you're saved, we shouldn't let go or let anything slip between us and God. We should keep short accounts with us and God. We shouldn't let sin sneak in the back door and have a pet sin. We should, as soon as we sin, we should ask for forgiveness of that sin. Get rid of it so we can have a clean, a restored fellowship with God. We shouldn't want to let go of anything, any of the blessings that God has, that he has to offer to us. And God's blessings are so abundant. There are so many blessings. He's given us a home in heaven. He's given us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He saved our soul. We are on our way to heaven. That alone is huge. All right? We shouldn't want to let go of everything that God has given us. But you ever wonder in your life, you know, I haven't been the witness that God wants me to do. You think of friend day coming up in 2-3 weeks, and everybody has friends, everybody has acquaintances. What kind of friend would you be if you didn't invite them, but yet you would help them out in the yard? You'd go to their son's basketball game. You'd be a friend to them in that kind of a way. But when it comes to the spiritual side, it's kind of awkward. It's kind of embarrassing. It shouldn't be like that. If you are a true friend to whoever you call a friend, you should want to take care of their spiritual need first. You should say, hey, we've got friend day coming up, and you're my friend. I went to your boys' basketball game. They lost. You owe me. All right? You come to friend day, sit with me, and I want to introduce you to the best gift God has ever given mankind, Jesus. Amen. If you're a true friend to somebody, that's how you can show them that you're a friend. That's what Peter and John did. A common lame man. Nobody important. But Peter looked at him and said, there's something that this guy needs that nobody else has given him, that only Jesus can take care of. And Peter took the time to show him Jesus. The question is, are we going to take the time in our acquaintances and our friends, are we going to show others Jesus? Are we even going to show people we don't even know in our daily routines? Are we going to show them Jesus just by giving them some information? You say, well, I'm not the best talker. Neither am I, but I can hand them a piece of paper.
That's right.
I can invite, I can say two sentences and invite them to church. Does it mean they'll come? No. But did you do your responsibility? Yeah. See, I think sometimes we're so afraid of failure. But the thing is, if you never try, you've already failed. If you are what God wants you to be, you will be the witness wherever you are or wherever you go in your daily life. It was a habit for Peter and John. 3,000 people or one lame man, it didn't matter. Everybody needed to know. And that's what they understood. So you got the people in this story, the problem. He expected money. He didn't expect healing. And the prescription that Peter gave him was Jesus. When we meet people, what kind of prescription are we going to give them? Are we just going to offer like I did, like I messed up? Are we just going to offer some strength and pick up some boards? I failed that guy. Or are we going to give them what they really need but don't know yet? They really need Jesus.
Yes, they do.
And Jesus is counting on you and me to give the prescription to everyone that we meet. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with our head bowed and our eyes closed. When we look at this story,